You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
After God.
I wanted to wrap up. This is the last day of this After God series where we have gone through the life of David. And so, actually, can you hit the house lights in here? Just a question. Is there anybody in this room whose name is David or middle name is David? All right. One. Got another one there. Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. I guess you're off the hook. All right, why don't you two guys come on up here? If you don't mind coming up front. If you don't want to, we can make David in the back come up front too. All right. That's all right. Can we use you for a moment, David? Both Davids. Yeah, you guys. So this is the last day of the life of David, and so we, not these Davids. So it's the last day of your life, so welcome. What I need you to do, first of all, can you guys come on up here and just... maybe just stand here, like David here. I said David. Look at that, David. Okay, so there, can you just hold that? And then you just hold that. Okay, now what I need you to do, everybody paying attention. I'm going to pass this to the front row here, if I don't get feedback, and I need you to start passing it back. Everybody needs to have a piece of the rope, so you're just going to weave it around so it gets around to everybody. Okay, go, faster. This is the easy part. Okay. All right, so... while that's happening, very slowly. Okay, we're gonna have to. This is gonna have to speed up here because we're gonna have to do something else here. All right, don't choke or hurt anybody else. And hopefully there's enough coming around. We'll give them a little more stalling time. All right. So what's gonna happen with you guys, David? Here is a bucket of various. Don't look. Various rings. Various types of rings. And we're going to see how quickly David, and all of you can get these rings through this rope to the end. Okay? So the ring, oh wow, this is, it might not even make it to this side. What? What are you doing? I'm going to ruin everything, David. Yeah, I'm talking to you, David. All right, we're going to be able to make it across the aisle there. We're almost out. Wow, I did not expect that. That's okay. That'll work. So, wait, is it? Wow, okay. So you guys are off the hook. Will it come off of that little thing there or not? All right, cool. Okay. Well, this works well, so you guys can all pay attention over here, and next time, if you're like, ooh, I want to be part of the fun, or if next time you're like, I don't want to be a part of the fun, you can do that. So what we're going to do is, we've got a little music here, we'll start in a second, not yet, and we're going to see how quickly we can get these rings. Oh, it's going to you, Scott. Scott is the end of the line. All right, we're going to see how quickly we can get these rings from David to Scott. So Scott is at the end of the line. You with me? All right, you guys understand what we're going to do, so you're just going to reach in randomly and grab a ring and get it down the line. And David, there, you're to help kind of get it down to there. Yeah, so, okay, ready? You ready? You all ready? If you hold it tight, now we're using gravity. Okay, all right. Okay, all right, here we go. Give me some music on your marks. Get set, go. Good. Get the next one. We can get him going. Don't even. How many are left? That, how many do you have? Wow. Okay, like that song was 3 minutes long. All right, so you can go to the next thing and cut the song off there, fade out slightly. Wow, okay, so you guys are impressive. I was even saying saying to Garrett ahead of time, like, we're going to do this game and it's going to take way too long because my games always take too long. This didn't take too long, so that's good. This works well. If you notice, there were three things here that didn't make it to you because they couldn't go past the line there. And there were three things there that did make it. Why don't you guys, I will take this back. Why don't we give it up for our Davids for helping us out. Thank you guys very much. You can have a seat. I've got this. So, yeah, I guess you can, like, slowly push the rope. Don't worry about winding it back up. That's just too crazy. Just kind of, here, ready? Actually, yeah, don't. Okay, well, this will be coming up. And then, Scott, may I have the three rings that you have there? Now, how many of you remember this rope? Anybody? Anybody remember this rope? Yeah? All right. And how many of you remember the mark on the end of the rope here? Yeah? This is our, what we have called the eternity rope. And we'll talk about the mark in a second here. But our lives are like this rope. And we live in the temporary. We live in the short term. We live in the now. But compared to eternity, like, the now is nothing. And I adjusted this a little bit because we made the now this long. And this is the length of your life. And maybe depending on how old you will make it, maybe your rope is longer. Maybe it's a little bit shorter. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe this is like 92. That's a long life. Maybe maybe you're not quite so long. Maybe you make it to 84. I don't know. I don't know what the length. And of course, God does know how long our lives are going to be. But this is just a small part of eternity. And eternity goes on for a long time, forever. And actually, eventually, that song was going to sing about forever and ever and ever, but we were too efficient. So, but you guys passed. There were six things that went through, and as David tried to be obnoxious, there is a washer right here, and this washer is the moment of death, because from that moment, as we go from now into eternity, there are things that will pass from now into eternity, such as time with Jesus and the Bible. The time that you invest with Jesus now, the time you spend with Him now and in His Word, will last into eternity because His Word is eternal, and the things that God is doing in you through His Word and spending time in that relationship, that will last into eternity. And then people that you lead to Jesus. If you are serving God and involved in leading other people to Christ, those people are going to last into eternity. And then here, what do we have? We have the sacrifices that you make for Jesus. There are things that we can give up and we sacrifice in this life that eventually have value for eternity, and they go on. But then there's things that don't make it past eternity, and that is time spent on sin and ignoring God. And so all the time that you are supposed to be investing and God has called you to follow Him, and we spend going, nah, I'm just going to do it my own way. That's great, but that's not going to last. Your unwillingness to worship and to connect with God is not going to last. And you might have a good time now, but that good time will not last into eternity. And then we've got here your position and power. And you can spend your life developing and growing your position and your authority and your role and your career and all of those things. But as great as you get, you're still, that is not going to matter once you get to eternity. No one's going to say, oh, well, welcome to heaven, and what was your position? Oh, well, that's good. As a matter of fact, scary, because Jesus says the first will be last. So that will not last into eternity. And then, of course, this is the obvious one, but your money and your possessions will not last into eternity. So you can get a lot of stuff and have a lot of great things and enjoy them, because you should enjoy them now, because they're not going to make it into eternity. And it's important for us to remember, now again, I put the washer here to represent that, but really, in the scheme of things, like this little red mark, that's our life. Our life is a blip. James says that our life is a vapor. It's like this morning, a fog that appears for a little bit and then is gone. And that is what our life is like compared to eternity. And eternity goes on and on and on and on. And the question I have for you, and the question that David is going to leave with us, is what are you doing now for the sake of eternity? What are you doing that's going to last? Because we are here at the end of the life of David. And this is what the point is today, as we look at the end of David's life. And it's this: when you're after God, God is what lasts when you're gone. Because if you notice, all these things that made it past, made it into eternity, they were things about Jesus. They were things about Him, not about us, but about Him. And here we are, we're coming up to the end of David's life, and he was considered a man after God's own heart. And that wasn't because he was perfect, but he continually sought God. He continually came back to Him, even when he screwed up. And as the last couple of weeks, I mean, we're kind of a down time for David. Like, he messed up a lot. The Bathsheba thing, the killing Uriah thing, the, you know, causing 70,000 people to die because of his selfishness. And so here we're at the end of his life, and it's, the point is, when you're after God, God is what lasts when you're gone. And I want you to know what we're going to do today is I'm going to kind of rush through, or I'm going to do kind of an abbreviated teaching time, because we have these eight stations now, there's eight of them, around this room that I'm going to give you the last 15 or 20 minutes or so to actually get up and participate and interact with these different stations based on Psalms that David wrote. And then the band will come up as soon as that's done. You're the very last thing, they'll come up and lead us in one final song of worship. But I just want you to know that as we go through this, we're going to look at a couple of things here quickly so that you have a chance to interact with these different things that we've been talking about. And then in your prime groups this week, you're going to have a chance to review the last 8 weeks of this series. But when you think about the end of someone's life, when you get to the end of your life, you know, those are the moments. Like, what are the last things that you want to say? You know, if you knew that tomorrow you wouldn't be here, what would you say? What would you tell people? If you knew you only had 2 months to live, what would you do with that time? And I think we all know that. We recognize the value of that. We realize, okay, we don't know. We assume we're going to live forever, but we don't. But if we knew what that line was, you would say, what are these things that I think matter? What are the things that I want to tell other people about? What are the things that I want to invest my time in? And so here we have the end is near for David. Now, we wrapped up last week. We were in 1 Chronicles, which is a parallel passage. 1 Chronicles covers what is happening the same time in 1 and 2 Samuel. And 2 Chronicles covers what happens in 1 and 2 Kings. And Chronicles is the story of the kings of Judah. And so last week we looked at David, and we actually looked at two different passages. The passage is at the end of 2 Samuel, and the same thing happening in 1 Chronicles. And so the end of 2 Samuel was the story that we talked about last week, with David buying the threshing floor to eventually become the place where the temple would be built, where God stopped his plague from killing the angel from killing the people. And that's, if you weren't here last week, you can listen to it at mc3church.org. Click on listen to the point. But here we are, beginning at 1 Kings 1. So I'm just kind of telling you, the end of 2 Samuel and 1 Kings 1 is the same story. It just picks up. Because Kings tells the story of all the different kings of Israel and Judah. And so in 1 Kings 1, the first thing that we see here is Adonijah steals the throne. And I'm just going to quickly summarize a few things to keep you on the story. Remember, a couple weeks ago we talked about how when David sinned, God said, your family, the sword is never going to leave your family. Your family is going to live by the sword because of your disobedience. And we talked about that a little bit last week. Well, it continues here because another son of David, Adonijah, David is old at this point. It says that David isn't even able to stay out of, in, you know, he's in bed all the time. He's just kind of at the end. And so Adonijah, one of his sons, says, oh, since dad's almost dead, it looks like I'll take over as the king. And long story short, we talked about a couple weeks ago as well that God said Solomon is the chosen one. He will be the next king. And so you have this moment where David finds out that Adonijah has tried to take the throne. And David then goes to his leaders, And he tells them, I want you to appoint my son Solomon. Let everybody know that I have chosen Solomon, not Adonijah, as the king. And I just want to read this passage just because it's important. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but it's important. And so in 1 Kings 1, 38 to 40, it says, so Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaniah son of Joadiah, and the king's bodyguard took Solomon down to the Gihon spring. What they did is they took Solomon, they put him, they said they had him riding on King David's own mule. So here you've got this coming king, this entering king, the one who's going to be the next king, is riding on a mule. And then it says there, Zadok the priest took the flask of olive oil from the sacred tent, anointed him with the oil, then they sounded the ram's horn, and all the people shouted, long live King Solomon. Another way you could say this would be, Hosanna, Solomon. And all the people followed Solomon into Jerusalem, playing flutes and shouting for joy. The celebration was so joyous and noisy that the earth shook with the sound. Now, I'm just sharing that for a moment because, let's say, way more than 30 years later, 2,496, so about 1,000 years later, you have this other guy that comes riding in on a donkey, and everybody is saying, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And when this happens, shortly thereafter, all the religious leaders get really upset and say, we need to kill this guy. Now, if you don't know the story of what happens here, that's kind of like, why did that all of a sudden happen? It's because they understood that someone was coming to be anointed, to be called, named the next king. So that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but just so you know, a little bit of context for this whole thing that we call Palm Sunday. So Adonijah steals the throne. Then David, he reappoints Solomon as the next king. He then gathers Israel's leaders together. And then he shares some final instructions for Israel. So he gets everybody together. Like, guys, this is it. I'm coming to the end. If we're bringing, I want everybody to come together. They all come together. And he shares some final instructions for the nation of Israel. And in these instructions, he talks about how he is going to his son is going to build the temple. And then, in this kind of final ceremony, this kind of one last hurrah, this is senior day. You know, for if you were, you know, Penn State yesterday was senior day. Like, everybody's here, this is the last shot. And so David then shares some final instructions for Solomon. And so you've got a man who has been a man after God's own heart, who has seen amazing, incredible things happen. We have seen him kill Goliath, and that's the mark for Goliath back on the wall there. We've seen him, you know, God do incredible things through him. We've seen him being chosen not because of what he looks like on the outside, but because of his heart. And here is at the end of his life, and it's time for him to share final instructions. And what I just want to suggest to you and to me is that we pay attention. Because if we want to be a person who is after God, then maybe we should listen to a person that was called a man after God's own heart, especially when he's at the end of his life. And so he gives final instructions to his son Solomon. And these are the final words of a man after God. The first thing he says to Solomon is, know God. He says to his son, he says, look, you're about to take over for me. You're about to take over. I've been king for 40 years. I was Saul was a king that the people wanted, but God didn't want. But David was the king that God wanted. And he says to his son, look, you're going to take over for me, and it's important that you know God. And that's what he says here in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, the first part. And we're going to be looking at this passage in 1 Chronicles. He says, and Solomon, my son, after he's given instructions to Israel, to everybody, he now turns to his son there. Maybe he's leaning up on his cane. It says he was standing in the presence of the people, but one of the passage in Kings says that he could barely get out of bed. So this is the end. And he turns to his son and says, Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. This is the end of his life. He doesn't say, Solomon, here's some instructions. Here's some things you watch out for this guy. By the way, keep an eye on this person. And, oh, the faucet on the left sometimes sticks. Make sure you adjust that a little bit. Oh, and, you know, don't ever use the horse that goes with that chariot because it always, you know, it just never works well. He doesn't say any of that. He says, this is it. He says, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. And the Hebrew word there, know, doesn't just mean like, oh, I have some knowledge of that. It means to have this depth, to have a relationship with. He says, Solomon, If you want to follow after me, you need to know God. You need to have a relationship with Him. You need to know Him intimately. Solomon, I'm almost dead. This is the end for me. You're taking over. Know God intimately. Know Him deeply. Because that's what's going to last into eternity. He understood that. David realized that these other things won't last, but knowing God intimately will last for eternity. The second thing, then he goes on and says to Solomon, serve God. Serve God. The second part of that verse then goes on and says, worship and serve Him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. He says, look, make sure you know God, but then serve Him. So it doesn't just talk about spending time with Jesus. He says, make sure you also are serving Him. And here we talk about people you lead to Jesus. You can't see people last for eternity if we don't spend time serving God. He says, serve God. Worship and serve Him with your whole heart and a willing mind. And understand this, people. Please, please, please. Especially, like, man, the idea of what church is in America in 2018 is so different. And we know this. We've talked about this in our church club series just a few months ago. But like this idea of, okay, God wants me to serve, check, I did that thing. No, God is not interested in you going, check, I did that thing. God wants you to serve Him with a willing heart. And just get this, if you're just showing up and going through the motions, it looks nice to us, but God knows your heart. And so God is saying to Solomon, or David is saying to Solomon, look, don't just kind of go through the motions. Serve God with your whole heart. That is what's going to last for eternity. Not your stuff, not building up your position, not spending time investing in making you more important, because that's not going to last. But if you are investing your time in serving God, that is going to last into eternity. He says, serve God with a whole heart and a willing mind. And then the third thing he says is seek God. He says, know God intimately, know God deeply, have that deep relationship with Him, serve Him with a whole heart, serve Him willingly, be excited, be glad that you get to serve the King of the universe. And for those of you that were not here for the big old meeting on Monday night, if you serve in an MC3 ministry, I'm just going to be flat out, I'm disappointed because you were not encouraged. That night was all about why what we do matters so much. And I just, we have the video. If you weren't here, you can watch it. But for those of you that serve at MC3, that night was all about saying, you know what? What we do matters. We're not just serving to get by and to check it off the list. It's lasting for eternity. The lives that we affect and infect with Jesus last for eternity. And then the third thing he says to his son is to seek God. He goes on and says, if you seek Him, you will find Him. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. He says, if you seek after God, you will find Him. The word here means that, to inquire, to ask. It doesn't just mean like, I didn't see Him, okay, I'm good. No, it's like pursue, to inquire, to wonder, what does God want me to do here? How does God want me to respond to this? What is the right thing to do? Not just what works for me. Not just what is convenient, but God, what do you want from me in this situation? That is what seeking God looks like. And so here David is, a man after God's own heart, at the end of his life, standing in front of all the people, bringing his son up front, and not just giving him the money, not just giving him the keys, but saying, Solomon, you need to know God. Not just know of Him, not just say, yeah, I read the Bible once, but know Him intimately. Then you need to serve God. Serve God with a whole heart. Like, this isn't optional. And we'll talk about this in a moment. Like, this isn't something like, well, when I get a chance. No, God, it's not. Like, when we think about eternity, like, you can serve things now all you want. You can spend all the time that you want on stuff now. And I'm not here to say that's right or wrong. I'm just saying there are some things that are not going to last. And we are investing our time and our money and our effort and our energy in things that we're going, yay, this is neat. And God's going, you know what? It's not going to last. And so the question is, what are you investing in? His words were to know God, serve God, and seek God. So that you ask God, what do you want? Because when you're after God, God is what lasts when you're gone. And this isn't meant to be guilt trippy. It's just a matter of saying, what are you investing in? Like, if I said, hey, I've got this great thing I'd love for you to invest in. It's called Blockbuster Video. It's going to be great. They'll have these things in a store called video cassettes. And people are going to rent them. And I think it'll take off. So I would like you, please, come on, invest in that with me. I think it'll be worth it. Or there's this other thing. It's called Netflix. I don't think it's going to take off. Like, why would people want to watch movies in their own house? It's not going to work. You can invest in either. I don't think Netflix is going to last for eternity. But from practical stance, like, what would you invest in? Why would you waste your time on Blockbuster Video when you have the opportunity to invest in something that's going to last? And that's the instructions that David gives to his son Solomon. Well, then it goes on here. So the end is near. Then after giving these instructions to Solomon, he explains the plans for the temple. David has been working on these plans. He's been excited. God said, David, you can't build a temple, but your son is going to get to. This is a huge honor for David. A permanent place for people to worship God. And so he's been sketching out plans, and he finally gives them over to Solomon. Here's the plans in front of all the people, this big assembly. And then then David says, look, this is a big deal, and I want everybody to know that I'm donating lots and lots of my own stuff to this temple. This isn't just me saying, hey, you do this. This is David saying, I'm donating. Here's what I'm giving to this temple. And he lists all the different things that he gives towards this temple. All the jewels and gold and riches and all these different things. And then he goes to the people and says, now we're all together. What would you like to donate? And the people just spontaneously rise up and say, I'll give this. I'll give that. And all of a sudden the people donate to the temple. And it was just this incredible moment. And so everybody's excited. They're going to have this permanent place for God, this permanent house where people can worship God in Jerusalem. And so then David shares his final prayer. So this is the end of the moment. Everybody's here. They've been celebrating. It's been a few hour long, maybe a day long kind of final assembly. All the leaders of Israel are there. Solomon's there. They've been talking about this. He gives final words to Solomon. He explains the plans for the temple. He talks to everybody about what's going to look like because I'm going to be gone. You know, I'm dying. I'm not going to be the king forever. And so he shares one final prayer. And again, if you think about someone's final words and final instructions, and then you think about their final prayer, like here's a man after God's own heart. What does he pray in his final moments? So here's the final prayer of a man after God. The first thing he prays is to know God. To know God. In 1 Chronicles 29, it says, then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. He's got a relationship here. He knows this God. He goes on and says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Like, God, this is you. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours. O Lord, this is your kingdom. We adore you. You don't adore someone you don't know. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. And understand, this is a guy saying this, praying this, that has been through a lot of ugly times, recognizing that God is great. And he says, O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And you may have heard that if you saw our Facebook post on Thursday. Because David knew God. He had an intimate relationship with God. And so his final prayer was just this idea of sharing and expressing, God, you are incredible, and I am not. And we talked about this verse during the offer series. David recognizing, you know, everything that we have, all of these things here that won't even last to eternity, they're from God. He says, everything is yours. So the second thing then he prays And this final prayer is to serve God. He goes on and says, "But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you?" Like, here we are, the people have gathered this great collection, this great opportunity to serve and worship God with their stuff and their giving. He says, "Everything we have has come from you, and we give only what you first gave us. We are here only for a moment. We are here only for a moment. Visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord, our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there." This idea of serving with a willing heart. "You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously." So now he goes on to this idea of serving God willingly and recognizing that this is just a blip. Our lives are nothing. They're a passing shadow. So we need to invest in things that matter. And then he goes on, and probably surprised at what the next thing is going to be here. But he prays to know God, he prays to serve God, and then he prays to seek God. And he goes on in verse 18. And he says, "O Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it that their love for you never changes. Give my son Solomon the wholehearted desire to obey all your commands, laws, and decrees, and to do everything necessary to build this temple for which I have made these preparations." So he prays to God and says, "God, make the people seek you. God, help us to seek you. Help us to make it our desire to obey you. So that we go, what do I need to do? Let me ask God. What does God want me to do? Not what will get me further along or what will get me a bigger thing or the better stuff or make that person like me. But what does God want us to do?" And so here you have a man at the end of his life. His final words were to know God, to serve God, to seek God. His final prayer was to know God, to serve God, to seek God. And so if we're at the end of this man's life that we've been looking at for 8 weeks, some incredible stuff, and here he is, know God, serve God, seek God. So then we get on to the very next moment here. After this prayer, the assembly is over. David, the next day, crowns Solomon as the king again. There was an announcement earlier, but this was the official coronation. Solomon is now king. And then David dies. And I sort of feel sad about that. We watched 8 seasons of Monk. And just finished the season finale a couple days ago. And it was like, this is sad and it's stupid because he's a weird guy and he's just a TV character. And I feel that way about David. Like, here we are. We've been looking at him for 8 weeks. A man after God's own heart. He is gone. He is dead. Solomon, unfortunately, did not do a very good job. He did not follow his dad's final instructions. He did not always, not that David did either, but he at least didn't come back to God. He didn't know God, serve God, and seek God in everything he did. And it got ugly, and the kingdom split, and we talked all about that in our Word 3 Kings and Prophets series, which you can find online on our website. So David is dead. And so when you're after God, David was a man after God's own heart. He recognized that God is what lasts when you're gone. And what are we talking about? Like, what's the name of this series, right? It's not after David. It's after God. Because here we are, 3,000 years later, and we're not talking about as much about David, but how David was a man after God's own heart. Because God is what's last. God is what lasts. He is the one that lasts in our life. And just, you know, those were David's instructions to Solomon. As we said during our crop series, you know, Israel's promises are our principles. So we can't just say David is speaking to us because we're not going to be the next king of Israel. He was speaking to Solomon. But I want you to understand that there are similar words, faithful words, of the Son of God. We looked at the final words of a man after God. We look at the final prayer of a man after God. Now let's look at the faithful words of the Son of God. These are things that Jesus said. And these things that Jesus said come to us too, because we are followers of Jesus. We are Christ followers. Some people might call us Christians, which, interesting enough, was like a swear word when it was first invented. Like, the people used the word Christians as a term of mockery. Ha ha, those Christians. But as followers of Jesus, these are some instructions to us. Here's what they are. Know God. Jesus says that we should know God. In Matthew chapter 22, one of the religious leaders tried to catch Jesus, and they tried to get him in trouble and try to get him to make a place. Like, they asked him, which is the greatest commandment? And tried to get him to put one above others, and somebody would get mad somewhere. And it says that Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And so what does he say? Love God with everything you've got. Know God intimately. Have a relationship with the Father through Jesus. He says, if you want to have a life that lasts into eternity, you need to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We did a series called Adonai a number of years ago, looking at this passage and breaking down all those parts. But Jesus says, look, for you, follower of me, follower of Jesus, we need to know God. We need to love God with everything that we've got, with our heart, our mind, and our strength, every part of us loving God. The second thing that Jesus said is to serve God. And it's easy for us to be like, okay, yeah, that sounds great. I'll do that sometime when I get to it. But Jesus did this thing where he's getting ready to die on the cross. He's going to be crucified. He knows this. His followers do not. And it says that while they're at this meal, he suddenly gets up from the table and takes off his outer garment and leaves it there and puts a towel around his waist. And he suddenly demonstrates, he's dressing up as a slave, a servant, of a house servant. Like, he's putting on, like, whoa, wait a second, Jesus, that's different. I mean, if I put on a red nose and a big fluffy red wig, you'd be like, oh, you're dressing up like a clown. So people knew what was going on here. Jesus is dressing up like a servant. Like, what are we playing, pretend? I didn't think Halloween was invented yet. Jesus didn't invent Halloween anyway. So he gets his on, like, what's going on? And he then stoops down and washes the feet of each of his followers, of each of his disciples. And that's something that only servants do. The lowly people, they get paid. We pay people to do that. Jesus, you should not be doing that. And so it says he gets up, and this is where John chapter 13 picks up. He says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And Lord means master, kind of the opposite of servant. Because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Jesus says, look, I am serving you. I am taking the role of a servant. He's not saying, you know, go around. Well, she's upstairs teaching. Amy was joking about getting some Windex. He's not saying going around with some Windex and wash people's feet. You're not just... He says, no, this is an example of servanthood. And if you're my followers, you need to serve. You need to serve God and serve others. And when you do that, the people that you serve, there are little things. And there are people in this room right now that because of a meal that was brought, because of a simple way that someone invited them into a parking lot, that they are coming to Jesus. People are coming to Jesus, and Jesus is going to last for eternity because of someone's willingness to serve. Don't miss that. And that's what Monday was all about. Like, we are all pieces in this big puzzle, and our piece matters and your piece matters, and it's changing people's eternity. And so Jesus says, look, that's the example. We need to serve God. And then the third thing that Jesus says is to seek God. And I know Kirk did not see my notes, but he prayed this. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about, you know, people, he first talks about money and says, you know what, your treasure needs to be with me. And don't worry about all the other stuff. Invest in me. Invest your money, specifically your money and your possessions in me. And then the response is, people are going, well, what about all these other things? And Jesus answers that hypothetical question by saying, so don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. He's like, that's what people that don't know me worry about. What are you doing? But your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. God knows what you need. So he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. He says, if you want to do things that are going to last for eternity, seek me. Because you can invest in these things and spend time, money, whatever, on these things, but they're not going to make it into eternity. He says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek me above everything else. And God will provide the rest of it. God will provide these things for you that aren't, it's just disposable. They're temporary. I mean, I know some people. I may or may not be one of those people that might, you know, take a plastic throwaway cup from a fast food restaurant and wash it to reuse it because, you know, you never know. You might need a cup sometime. And if you go home to my home growing up, you will see where it comes from because there's quite the collection of Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King cups that are disposable. They're meant to be thrown away. They're temporary. Yeah, it's not a big deal. And Jesus says, look, these things are temporary. I'll provide them, but seek me first. And then what does he say? So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Seek God above everything else. So you've got David's final words, which were know God, serve God, seek God. You have David's final prayer, which was know God, serve God, seek God. And you have Jesus' words to us to know God, serve God, seek God. Because when you're after God, God is what lasts when you're gone. So the question is, what are you investing in? What is your time, your focus, your energy going into? Something that won't last for eternity or something that will? And that's for you to answer.